Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. In the United States, there was recently a midterm election where members of the House of Representatives and Senate were elected along with various state and local positions. One party was promising a red wave, and some in that party were even promising a red tsunami. At the national level, the other party maintained control of the Senate, and only by the narrowest of margins did this party take control of the House of Representatives. There can be a lot of debate whether or not there was a red wave, a red tsunami, or not, at the national level. For any who would question if that indeed happened or not, they might say that the election predictions didn't happen. Even though many were calling for a red wave and red tsunami, there are those who would say this, in fact, did not happen. At Sabbath Bible Study, our focus is not on the politics of any nation on earth, but on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness as revealed to us through the Bible. And one of the warnings we are given in the Bible that we will look at today is to make our calling and election sure. Sort of like the election that was recently seen in the United States, right now God is calling on his people to be in the kingdom of God. But will election results confirm or deny what God is calling for? What can we do to make our calling and election sure? We will begin our study of that by looking at faith, starting where faith is defined for us in the Bible. Hebrews 11, starting with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith is the foundation, but not the finality of what we must do to make our calling and election sure. If you've ever watched a construction project from the ground up, you will recall a lot of effort goes into the foundation, because if the foundation is solid, the construction build will be solid. And if the foundation has any weakness, the building can collapse or be compromised. To help us understand faith, many examples are given to us in the Old Testament, starting with the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was the firstborn, and yet it was Abel who gave a more excellent sacrifice. We don't know why God respected Abel's offering but not Cain's offering. We just are given that information. It is interesting that the younger brother gave the more excellent offering. Because God looks at the heart and not the outward appearance of people, the difference in opinion likely had something to do with the difference in heart between Cain and Abel. But we do not know for sure. It is through faith that Abel gave the more excellent offering. Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. The account of Enoch is also given to us as an example of faith. From the Bible, we know that Enoch walked with God. An easy way to envision walking with God is when you are walking with a pet, probably a dog on a leash, or when walking with a small child. When you are both walking at the same speed and in the same direction, the child or pet is walking with you. However, should the child want to stop and play when you need to continue walking forward, the child is no longer walking with you. Similarly, if you're walking down the street and your dog sees a distraction on the other side of the street, your dog is no longer walking with you. When Enoch walked with God, Enoch was doing what God expected him to do, and because of that, we are told in the New Testament that Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Let's read Genesis 5, starting with verse 18. And Jared lived in 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years, begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Noah was grounded in faith and walked with God, doing what God needed him to do. When God told Noah to build an ark, Noah built the ark according to God's specifications, and in doing this, saved the lives of his entire family. Genesis 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Abraham walked with God. When he was known as Abram, God told him to move from where he was living to a place that God would show him. Abram walked with God by doing what God expected him to do. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the place of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and High on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Sarah, Abraham's wife, walked with God, who through faith did what God needed her to do. She was very old, well past childbearing age, when God told her she would have a son. Sarah was so close to God in faith that even when she mentally laughed at the idea of having a son, God didn't see this as a lack of faith and responded to Sarah by talking to her as a friend. Genesis 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he said in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I pray thee from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you, ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye are come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, kneaded, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. After Isaac was born, God tested Abraham by asking him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And even though God intervened knowing that Abraham would continue to walk with God through faith after the long-delayed birth of his son, showing that even a person who is known as the friend of God can have their hopes and dreams delayed until God knows the time is perfect. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Moving forward in time to the writings of Peter in the New Testament, we are told to diligently make our calling and election sure. Right now, for all who are called, it is like we are a candidate on an election ballot, but we have not yet won the right to hold that office. We must be victorious in the election to have the right to be part of the kingdom of God. Peter also tells us what we must do to secure victory in our election. And the different thing about this election is all of the candidates on the ballot can win, but only through our own actions can we cause a loss. To secure victory, we must use diligence to exercise our faith, and to our faith, we must add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If we do this, we are guaranteed victory in our election. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The diligence we must have is mentioned in Romans and is based in love, rejecting what is evil and holding to that which is good as we focus efforts in brotherly love, not being lazy in what we do, but fervently serving God in all we do. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The faith that we have is to be one like Abel, Enoch, Abraham, and Sarah, where we walk with God doing what God expects of us. The faith that we have is not a faith solely based in belief. When I go for walks through my neighborhood, I frequently pass a house that has a sign letting the world know the family believes. Belief is an integral part of faith, but is not the only component of faith. If belief were the only component of faith, then we could extrapolate that the demons have faith. But we all know demons exist in opposition to faith. James shows us that faith requires works and uses the example of Abraham offering Isaac as an example of the type of works required by faith. Like Abraham who obeyed God, so the works we must have coupled with faith are coupled to obedience to God. If we believe that God exists and then do those things that are opposed to God, we are like the demons who James also points out believe and tremble. James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was made faith perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. As we develop faith and have hope for the kingdom of God, it is natural to contrast the world we live in today with the hope of God's incredible kingdom. There are many bad things we see in the world around us, many more bad things than good things. The good that we see tends to be isolated, far and few between, and evil seems to be brought to our attention several times in the same day. While we need to be aware of the evil around us for our protection and the protection of others, we are told to think on those things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, having a good reputation, having virtue. This is important because we all tend to become what we focus on. If we focus on what is bad in the world today, we will become negative. God tells us not to do that. Instead, telling us to focus on that which is honest, just, lovely, having a good reputation, having virtue. If we focus on the evil of the world, evil will be the focus of our attention. And if we focus on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, those will be the focus of our attention. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Having knowledge is essential in our faith, and we cannot allow the knowledge we have to be manipulated by others to the point that knowledge is useless. Jesus lambasted the religious scholars of his day for taking away religious knowledge. Most would think religious scholars would spread religious knowledge, but Jesus said this was not what they were doing. The language of academia tends to be different than how most people converse with each other. In modern parlance, peer-reviewed research is huge. Scholarly articles are written not to inform the masses of people, but to garner support of like-minded peers. Scholarly articles are not written for the average person to read, but for scholarly peers to read. The information in scholarly articles is sort of locked away from those who aren't scholarly peers. In his day, Jesus condemned the religious scholars for this, explaining that they had turned the teachings of God away from faith, making it an unattainable burden. What Jesus said really angered the religious scholars because he pointed out their hypocrisy. Luke 11, verse 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, For ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touched not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees, began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him. To make our calling and election sure, we must exercise self-control. If you followed enough political elections, you can probably recall a candidate whose candidacy was derailed because of an issue of self-control. With some, the lack of self-control was linked to infidelity in marriage. With others, it was a slip of the tongue or forgetting major components of their platform. Self-control or temperance is important for us to make our election sure. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Along with self-control comes patience. In foreshadowing end-time events, Jesus told the disciples that those living during this time would be severely persecuted, but not to worry about what to say to defend themselves, knowing that the Holy Spirit would help them to answer in the best way possible. Instead of panic, instead of fighting back, instead of fleeing, at this time, Jesus relayed that through patience, his followers would preserve their lives. Luke 21, verse 12. But before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and in the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. When we wonder why our life has unexpected challenges, James tells us that patience is developed when these challenges meet up with our faith. It is through patience that we spiritually mature. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. As Christians, we can have patience in many different ways, but the most important types of patience we have are those linked to having faith and walking with God as demonstrated by keeping the commandments of God as we hold fast the faith of Jesus. It is insufficient to solely hold fast the faith of Jesus because conceptually that makes us no different than the demons who believe and tremble. We have to do something with that faith. And if we couple that faith with keeping the commandments of God, we will be positioned to be present when Jesus returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. To make our election sure, we must have godliness, not the form of godliness, but the substance of godliness. If all we do is look godly through the words we use and through religious theater, but reject God in some manner, all we have is a form of godliness. And having a form of godliness may be impressive to others, but will do nothing for God, who casts the ballot in our election. We cannot appear righteous to others while secretly doing what is against God. We must be focused in all we do and seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. To make our election sure, we must let brotherly love continue, never overlooking those who are strangers, and never forgetting those who can no longer make our company. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. To make our election sure, we must remember that thousands of years before we were born, God's love was first shown to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. To make our election sure, as we focus our love on God, remembering God first showed his love to us thousands of years ago through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we love others as we also love God. 1 John 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Elections on earth are never a sure thing. But in the election of our calling that will decide our place in the kingdom of God, the only thing that can get in the way of victory is us. Because all who are on the ballot can win. Only those who are not worthy of the vote to be elected to the kingdom of God will lose. And the only person controlling that destiny is us, you and me, for ourselves. We make our calling and election sure through a foundation of faith, knowing that faith requires us to do what God needs us to do, to keep the commandments of God, and that through faith, we will add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.